These words which fell so often from the lips of our Lord when he walked this earth in human flesh. These words go back to Exodus chapter 3. I am, our Lord said, I am that bread of life. And I know that these Jews, these Old Testament scholars, had as much sense as I have. And I'm sure that they knew what he was saying when he said, I am. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. And if you look at Exodus chapter 3 and keep your hand over there in the book of Exodus for a little while, Exodus 3 verse 13, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What's his name? What's his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am. I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent thee. Our Lord said, I am. One time when they came to arrest him, the soldiers came into the garden, and our Lord said, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they fell backward to the ground. When he pronounced that name, I am, they all didn't fall forward to worship him, which we will do. They fell backward, stunned, astonished, taken aback. I am that bread of life, the only bread. John 6:48, I am that bread which gives and sustains life, and the only bread. I am that bread, that bread, that bread, which every sinner needs and without which every sinner will perish. I am, I am. Verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. This I am the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now the manna, let's go back to Exodus 16. I told you to wait there with your hand in Exodus 16. The manna that God gave to Israel in the wilderness was only a picture of Christ, a type of Christ. And it was a picture of Christ in several ways. Let's read about it here in Exodus 16, verse 11. The children of Israel were in the wilderness, the desert. The desert yields no food, nothing for them to eat or drink. So the Lord provided in verse 12, Exodus 16, verse 11, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. I speak unto them, saying, At even you shall eat flesh. In the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning, listen, the dew lay round about the host, And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to the other, "It's manna." What'd they say? They said, "What is this?" Manna is, what is it? What is it? Manna was strange and mysterious, as was the birth of our Lord, born without a father, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin, mysteriously. What is it? The angel called it that holy thing. What is it? Manna from heaven, bread from heaven. He was prepared in heaven and sent down, even as this manna was prepared in heaven and sent down. And Moses said to them, verse 15, "This is the bread which the Lord God hath given you." The Lord Jesus Christ, like manna, is mysterious. He's from heaven, and he's given freely. "This is the bread the Lord God hath given you." You don't plow and plant and raise this. He gives it to you freely. This is the manna God gives you. That's how he's a picture of Christ. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded," verse 16. "Gather of it every man," everybody that's hungry. And they all were. And that's Christ, is for all who are hungry. Rich or poor, young or old, male or female. "Gather of it every man according to his eating." Are you hungry? Gather it. "An omer for every man according to the number of your person. Take ye every man from them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. Look at verse 31 of Exodus 16. Manna was not only strange and mysterious as Christ's birth of the virgin, not only prepared in heaven and sent down as our Lord was, not only a gift that cost you nothing, not only free to all who are hungry, but sweet to the taste. Verse 31, Exodus 16, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." But there are many ways in which this bread, like our Lord said in verse 49, back to my text, John 6, 49, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead." Now, there are many ways in which this manna was not a picture of Christ. No type is perfect, because a type is a heavenly earthly occurrence picturing a heavenly gift. And there's no way that this can picture that. So manna was food for the outward man only. Christ is food for the inward man, spiritual. Manna could give no one continuous life. These people ate manna and died, all of them. You don't eat Christ and die. Manna was only found in the morning. Christ is found all the time, morning, noon, and night, every day the same. When they entered Canaan, the promised land, the manna ceased. No more manna. When we enter glory, it'll be to be with him. Christ, today, tomorrow, and the subject of our song. So your fathers, verse 49, did eat the manna that you're talking about, and they're dead. This bread, this is the bread. I am that bread which cometh down from heaven, that if a man may eat thereof, he'll never die. Now, eating his flesh. Verse 51. I am the living bread. Our Lord, manna wasn't living bread. In fact, if you left it overnight, it rotted. No good. Our Lord's the living bread. He's the living stone. He's the living God. He begets in us a living hope. He said, because I live, you live. He ever lives who was dead. He lives and gives life to sinners. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the living bread, which came down from heaven. Now then, if any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. Skip down to verse 52. The Jews therefore argued among themselves. They didn't understand what he was saying. And a lot of people, when we preach this today, when Brother Dan read it, it could be some even in here that say, I don't understand this eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Well, let me see if I can help you. These Jews had the same problem. They said in verse 52, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So it's mighty important, isn't it? All right, when the Jews were in the wilderness, they were people with an appetite and a need. They had to have food. They had to have water. They could not survive without food and water in the wilderness. And when they passed through this wilderness, the wilderness yielded no food, none whatsoever. Everything they ate and everything they drank came from heaven. And when they ate this bread, and drank this water from the rock, they received it in themselves. They received the bread. They received the water. It gave and sustained life. Going through this world, this wilderness of sin, it'll provide you no spiritual food. It'll provide your soul no life and no strength. You need bread and water. You need life. And that which sustains life, and Christ said, I'm that bread. And when we eat his flesh and drink his blood, it speaks of believing on him and receiving him into our hearts and into our souls, even as these Jews received the bread and lived some of the time, part of the time. And then died later. But if you eat Christ and receive Christ, you never die. You understand that? That's eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It's receiving Christ into ourselves. It's believing Christ. As a person receives food and water to give and sustain life, we receive the life of God who is Jesus Christ. Now verse 51. So I'm the living bread. If a man eat this bread, receive me, he'll live forever, because I'm life. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. Now, what's he saying there? He's saying this. To give his flesh is to offer himself a sacrifice for sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross in the flesh, bore our sins in his body, took them upon himself, and died on that cross. And he, through his death, gave us life. And it's the crucified Christ that's the bread of life. It's the crucified Christ. It's the blood of Christ and the life of Christ. That's how we don't receive him as a martyr, as an example, as just a teacher. We receive him as a savior. See what I'm saying? A sacrifice, an atonement. So I receive Christ not just as a good man or a healer or a moralist or an example. I receive him as my substitute, my sacrifice, my sin offering. That's it. All right. And I will give, which I will give for the life of the world. Not only the Jew, but the Gentile as well. Now, look down at verse 54. So therefore, Now watch these two verses, 54 and 55. Whoso eateth my flesh, whoso receiveth the crucified Christ, the sin offering, the substitute, God's atonement, and drinketh his blood, receiveth his sacrifice, his blood that atones for sin, he hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. You know, you go back to my message this morning. Four times here in these few verses, our Lord said, I will raise him up at the last day. In the day when I shall return, in the day when the world shall end, in the day when God will destroy heaven and earth, melt with a fervent heat, there'll be a new heaven and new earth. In that day, I'm going to raise from the dead certain people. And he gives us four, he says that four times. Back here in verse 39, he said, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I'm going to raise up all that the Father gave me. All right, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son with eyes of faith and believes on him as Lord and Savior and Redeemer may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Verse 44. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Those that have given me, those that believe on me, those who have taught of the Father, and this verse, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, receive the crucified Lord by faith, lovingly, willingly, personally. Unchangeably, I'll raise him up at the last day. For, listen to this, my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Now, it's not just eating and drinking which nourishes a man physically. These Israelites out there in the wilderness possibly could have found something to eat, but it would have killed them. They might have found some water to drink that would have killed them. So it's not just eating and drinking that nourishes a man physically. It's eating and drinking good food. And a person eats poison, he'll die. It's so spiritually. A person receives a false Christ and a false Messiah and a false doctrine, and that which is not true according to the Scriptures, he'll perish. But Christ said, my flesh is meat indeed, truly. My blood is righteousness and life indeed, truly. There's none other name. Everything else is poison. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. So that's what he's saying here. And verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he dwells in me and I dwell in him. He dwells in me as the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, receiveth me, believeth on me, even he shall live by me. This is a divine union with Christ. This is what he's talking about over here in John 17 that we read this morning. Listen to it. Turn over there a moment. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I dwell in him. Listen to verse 23, John 17. Verse 22, he says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and Father, you've loved them even as you love me. That's what he's saying here in verse 56. He that eateth my flesh crucified Christ, drinketh my blood, which was shed. This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sin. We demonstrate this when we come to the Lord's table and take the wafer and the wine. The bread is broken. His body was bruised and broken on the tree. And the wine, which is the blood, and the bread and the wine is separate. When the body is separated, or the blood separated from the body, that's death. And he said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. And when you take the bread, it's symbolic of having received Christ. When you drink the wine, it's symbolic of having received Christ. And this is bread indeed. Meat indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. Nothing else but poison. It's poison. Man's not saved because he believes something. He's saved when he believes Christ. Man's not saved because he's got a Savior. He's saved because he's got the Lord Jesus Christ. Man's not saved because he's got religion. He's saved if he dwells in Christ and Christ dwells in him. And notice what he says in verse 56. He that eateth, that means constantly feeding on Christ. He eateth. He didn't. It doesn't say everybody who ate my flesh and drank my blood. He eateth my flesh. I receive Christ again today. I believe on Christ again today and tomorrow and the next day. If I ever quit believing on Christ, I'll perish. Just like if the Jews ever quit eating the manna, they're dead men. We feed on Christ. Eateth and drinketh. Eateth and drinketh. We live by his blood. We live upon his grace. We live in his love. We live through his person. We never live without him. And verse 58 and 59 is a summary of this whole chapter. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not like your fathers did eat manna unto dead. That's just a picture. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So what was their response? And we need to get busy determining our response. What was their response? All right, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, these were followers. These were the people we read about in the early verses. These were the people that he fed, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. These were the people attracted to him by the loaves and fishes and by the miracles. We can see that they were just temporary followers, because one day they were going to make him king and the next day they were leaving him. One day they were impressed with his miracles, the next day they were mad at his message. And so it says when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. What you've been preaching here is a hard saying. What do they mean, hard saying? Who can hear it? Do they mean they couldn't hear him? No, they heard him. They heard him. Look back at verse 41. Same chapter, John 6, 41. The Jews murmured at him because he said. They didn't murmur at him because he fed them. They murmured at him because of what he said about himself and about them.
about God, about salvation. And this over here, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? They didn't mean they were hard of hearing. They didn't mean that they didn't hear what he said. They heard what he said, and they flat knew what he said. It was not that the message was unintelligible and hard to understand. No, they understood it. Listen, the reason they rejected it, listen to me, it was irreconcilable with their religion. Their religion was a religion of works. Their religion and righteousness was a righteousness of their deeds and not his, of their merit and not mercy. And when they said that's a hard doctrine and a hard saying, they mean this: it's irreconcilable with my religion. And that's what's wrong with today's religion. When you preach sovereign grace of God, they say that's a hard saying and a hard doctrine. Who can hear it? It's not that they don't hear it. It's not that they don't know what you're saying. They're saying this, that what you're saying doesn't fit in with what I believe. It doesn't fit in. It won't fit my picture that I'm painting. No, it flat won't. It won't. It's offensive. Oh, it meets the need of a sinner. It meets the need of a helpless sinner. It meets the need of a woman like Mary Magdalene, like Zacchaeus, a man like Zacchaeus, a leper, a thief on a cross, a helpless, hopeless sinner. It meets his need, but a religious Pharisee, it's hard saying. It's just irreconcilable. It won't fit my religion. Therefore, I won't have it. And our Lord answered these people when they said that. He said, verse 61, when he knew in himself that these followers murmured at his message, his gospel, he said, does this offend you? When I talk about all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, does that offend you? And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he'd given me I'll lose nothing. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now, sees the Son by faith and believes on him, hath everlasting life. Does this offend you when I say no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him? And I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And every man that heareth and learneth of the Father cometh to me. Does that offend you when I say, I'm the bread from heaven, that bread, I am? Ah, listen, he said, verse 62, what? That offends you? What, and if you should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? You talk about the glory of the gospel offends you. What would you do when you see the glory of his person? If the glory of God taking all the credit and praise and glory for saving sinners, wait till you see his kingdom, all of it, in Christ, for the glory of Christ, surrounding the person of Christ, on the throne, Christ on the very throne of God. What would you do then? He didn't say they were going to see it. He said, what if you did? They're not going to. We are. We're going to see the Lamb on the throne. When he comes, we're going to see him as he is. Not as he was on a cross, in a manger, in a tomb, on the throne. King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, this little bit of preaching that shuts men up to the grace of God's offensive, well, you see him where he was. Oh, my. Well, it's verse 63. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Our Lord presses upon these people what he declared previously. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me drawing. No man has the ability, nor the desire, nor the inclination. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they're spirit, they're life. The natural man won't receive them. And there's some of you that believe not. He knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I said unto you, no man, no man, whatever his intellect, whatever his talent, whatever his heritage, no man can come to me, believe on me, receive me, be included in my grace and kingdom, except it were given unto him of my Father. And boy, from that time, you know, rather than saying, well, Lord, give us your grace. Like the leper who fell on his face at the feet of Christ, said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. Make me whole. Like the Canaanite woman. He said, I came to save the Jews, children, Abraham and Isaac. She never left. She stood there. He said, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. She said, well, I'm a dog. I'm your dog. Brush some crumbs off. I'll eat the crumbs. No, they left. From that time, they went back and walked no more with him. They walked no more with God. They walked no more with the church. They walked no more with believers. They walked no more in the way of life. They walked no more in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. But he's not with them. They walk no more with him. You reject my Lord's gospel, you reject the Lord. You reject his word, you reject him. And you walk no more with him. And then our Lord turned to the 12. It wasn't. This crowd started off with about 5,000. It's down to 12 now. And he turned to the 12. And he said, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Shall we go to the law? Shall we go to the Pharisees? They don't have anything. Shall we go to the temple? Den of thieves? Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we're sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We're not going away. And our Lord answered them, I've chosen you 12, yet one of you is a devil. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, who should betray him. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts. I'm grateful for his word, which rejoices the heart and the soul, gives confidence and comfort to every believer.